Thank you very much. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Let me begin my drasha this morning, my short message from a verse in Daniel. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. That's from Daniel chapter 12. Despite the disdain for Messianic Jews, especially among Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews, you know, we have something more in common with them than with the rest of the Jewish community combined, namely a firm belief in the resurrection of the dead. In fact, Rambam, Maimonides, regarded belief in the resurrection of the dead as one of 13 doctrines necessary in order to be considered religiously Jewish. It is why we Messianic Jews can earnestly pray along with them the second of the seven Amidah prayers. It goes like this: Ata gibor la'olam Adonai, mechaye meitim, ata rav lahoshia. You are mighty forever, O Lord. You bring to life the dead. And I've entitled our message this morning, you have the simpler version of it, Yeshua, the first fruits of the resurrection. I have it also, Yeshua ha-bikurim shel techiyat ha-mitim. It's a rhyme, but it means Yeshua, the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 23 and 50 through 55. Let's begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. If the dead are not raised, then Messiah has not been raised either. Rabbi Paul addresses the sad news that some in the congregation at Corinth were denying that there would be a resurrection. You're in a bad place when you distrust a promise God made long ago and repeated, including through Isaiah chapter 26, through Daniel chapter 12. Now, Rabbi Paul cares deeply for the Corinthian believers. And he wants them to understand the logical outcome of their denial and how pathetic it would be. If the dead aren't raised, then Messiah hasn't been raised. He's still in the ground. And so he goes on to say, and if Messiah has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Well, so what, the skeptic might ask? What difference does it make if the Messiah didn't rise from the dead? Well, it would mean that there is no atonement for our sin. Our belief in Yeshua, however noble, and despite the brotherhood in him that we enjoy among ourselves, as far as eternity is concerned, is useless. If Messiah is still in the ground, then we are still in our sin. And sin forever separates us from the eternal holy God. And what about our friends and loved ones who have died? What hope for them? Paul continues to lay out the disastrous consequences if those who disbelieved in the resurrection were right. He wrote this: then those also who have fallen asleep in Messiah are lost. Meaning, we would never see our friends or loved ones again, except perhaps in the flames of perdition. If Messiah didn't rise, then God didn't accept his death as sufficient payment for sin. And all who trusted in him are in eternal darkness. That is why Paul goes on to write, if only for this life we have hoped in Messiah, we are of all people most to be pitied, saying we're pathetic. So let's recap for just a moment. If there is no resurrection from the dead, Yeshua didn't rise. The good news isn't good. It's empty. We're wasting our time, since there will apparently be no final judgment or reward. We are unwittingly liars for having declared that Yeshua is alive again. Our spiritual situation is hopeless. Our sins remain unatoned. Our believing loved ones who passed away have perished. And we are pathetic for hoping in what they would allege doesn't exist. If there is no resurrection from the dead, why bother trying to please Adonai so we can feel better about ourselves and then die and be no better off than child abusers or rapists or mass murderers? So what? So people can say sweet things about us at our funerals, which we won't hear anyway? If this life is it, then why shouldn't we pack it up, go home, and grab all the power and wealth we can while we can? That would be logical at any rate. On the other hand, remember Tevye? On the other hand, what if it is true? If the resurrection is real, and Yeshua did rise from the dead, and there is an approaching day of judgment, what about the person who denies it, disdains it? It means wrath. It means eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, which is the second death. You see, that's the pesky thing about truth, which is a synonym for fact. Denying it won't make it go away. So let's go on. Paul writes this: "But Messiah has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Messiah all will be made alive, but each in turn. Messiah, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Messiah's resurrection is the foundation for our confidence and joy, even amid this world's troubles. Confidence because it carries us through our emotional swings and doubts. All my doubts cannot erase historical facts. Joy because his resurrection is also the guarantee that those who are joined by faith to him will likewise be resurrected to everlasting joy and shalom in the presence of God. We are all descended from Adam, so we all inherited his sin, resulting in death. Those who by faith are in Messiah, the second Adam, inherit his righteousness, resulting in life. But first things first, Messiah, the first fruits. Yesterday, by the way, being the 16th day of Nisan, was Bikurim, the holiday of first fruits, the day that he would have risen from the dead, and did. And Yeshua's resurrection is really good news for us. When God the Father raised Yeshua the Son from the dead, it represented his seal of approval. God accepted the death of the righteous Messiah as payment in full for the collective weight of the sin of mankind. Yeshua's post-resurrection appearances to individuals, to groups, and on at least one occasion to a crowd of 500 people is one line of evidence that the resurrection of Jesus is an historical fact. Another line of evidence is the otherwise inexplicable empty tomb. Theories such as those that say he didn't really die, but only swooned, or that the disciples stole his body, these kinds of arguments fall apart immediately under even the most cursory cross-examination in the light of physical, historical, and even medical evidence. A third line of evidence is the astonishingly rapid spread of the messianic or Christian faith and the willingness of those who were eyewitnesses to go to their deaths rather than deny it. These three evidences make an irrefutable case for the historical fact of Messiah's resurrection. And many who have tried to disprove it but looked at the evidence ended up right along with us as followers of Yeshua. Well, I want to conclude my drasha with a wondrous promise found later in this same chapter. Let me read. I'm not going to dissect it. Let me just read verses 50 through 55 for us. Paul writes, "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" If the coronavirus situation has you down, let me encourage you to look up. Messiah is risen. Death has been defeated. Death has lost its sting. Messiah Yeshua has done it. He has won the victory. If we will humbly surrender ourselves to him, we will share in that victory. Could there possibly be any better news? Amen.